Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your DFS preview for this week's BMW Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Sia Najad is here. Sia, happy Monday.
Happy Lucas Glover month, Rick. He's going to win the next two, right?
Why stop there? Why stop at two? Do you mean 200? Because that might be more realistic at this point.
I know you guys recapped it yesterday on the first cut, but I'm just so impressed with how poor he was down the stretch yesterday and still able to summon whatever he summoned to like hit some incredible shots, some incredible putts down the stretch. It was actually like really cool to watch it. It wasn't just because I had a live bet on Lucas Glover.
Yeah, he was awesome. Now we roll on with only 50 players remaining, and Sia, we can talk about this more as we go along here, but you're going to end up rostering over 10% of the field in every single one of your lineups. So those ownership projections are going to be much different this week. And I personally feel that the further we go into this, you know, the more important game theory becomes.
That's absolutely true. I mean, I think there might be a couple of guys in your lineup where you're like, listen, I think this guy is like really good, is really going to outpace his price, but he's going to be popular, or he's really good, and I think he's going to win this tournament. And I think, you know, a couple of guys like that are okay to play, but I think you've got to try to get weird here. It's hard to get weird with roster construction since it's so condensed, but listen, there are some guys that people are just not going to want to play. I mean, for example, Rick, Wyndham Clark, I looked on Rick Rungood. I saw what his ball striking was last week. Mm-hmm. He lost over 11 strokes off the tee and on approach. Like, I just got to think people aren't going to want to play people like that. And I'm not saying you should play Wyndham Clark. I'm saying those are the types of people to consider because of the recency bias that golf and any other sport contains.
All right. Well, let me take a quick pause before we dive even further into this and remind people that the fan vote, the form for this week's one and done is in the description. So go on, get your vote in, and see if you can make a run at Mark in the top of the board with 3.6 million on the line this week, 7.2 million on the line for next week. So yeah, this is Olympia Fields Country Club. It is the BMW Championship. Troy, if you want to share my screen, I will pull up the scorecard from this event. We have seen it once before, 2020, and it played quite difficult, the fourth most difficult course on the schedule for that year. Very different than other BMW championships we've seen where guys got to like 25, 26, 27 under. So we kind of have to figure out what the skill set is for this week.
So it's interesting because I agree, this is going to be really tough. There's just a lot of bunkers and some water hazards, but just some trouble off the tee that you're not really going to want to get involved with. However, Rick, I listened to your show earlier today, and I think you're right. I mean, it's almost as if you're containing all the golfers when you said this, but I don't think you are necessarily. I think, you know, let me paraphrase. You said earlier, you're going to have to like play both sides of the extremes here. You're going to have to play, you're going to have to buy into the accuracy theory to just have, you know, just nice approaches coming in, or at least fairway approaches coming in, or the bomber theory. And when you look at 2020, it looks like a lot of the bombers, some of the accurate hitters were in there too, but a lot of these guys who maybe we don't conceive of as super accurate, but have the distance, and maybe you want to match that up with the tee to green metrics just to like see if those match up. But It's bombers and it's accurate hitters, right? I mean, you can go either way with it.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot off the tee of Oak Hill where it's long, it's 7,300 yards on a par 70. Both fives are over 600 yards. The fairways are quite narrow, about 25, 26, 27 yards wide. It's tree lined, and it's going to have these little subtle dog legs that effectively make those landing zones even smaller. It reminds me a lot of Oak Hill in that manner. And it, when you have a situation where a lot of guys are missing fairways, distance matters. Think of winged foot. But if you are one of the guys who never misses a fairway, that's your path. So it was a lot like – it was also the way that Royal Liverpool broke down too, is you had guys who could drive it over the trouble, you know, your Rory McIlroys and your Cam Youngs and all these guys. And then you had Brian Harman, who never played into the trouble because he was constantly playing out of the fairway and he was shorter. I don't want guys that are in the middle of either. I don't want medium length drivers who are medium accuracy. I want either – elite distance or elite accuracy, because I think those are the only two ways to separate yourself.
Yeah, I agree. You either kind of want to guarantee you're mostly going to be in the fairway with like that elite accuracy, or you're going to want to guarantee that you're going to be able to get it out of the rough on your approach. Some of those bomber hitters are you're obviously in play for that.
The other thing, so it's only 1 year of history, Sia. So we can look at it, and it's from 2020. And you mentioned the bombers that were around here, and I'll actually open this up to everybody. So like Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Joaquin Neiman, Hideki Matsuyama, Tony Finau, Jason Kokrak, Matt Fitzpatrick were some of the guys at the top of the leaderboard. And you know, when you look at only 1 year's worth of data coming from 3 years ago, how much weight will you put on any of the course history conversation?
Well, to me, this, I'm not going to put a lot of weight on it, but to me, this just sort of ratifies what we just said, what we just talked about. I mean, you've got like your Brendan Todds in there, but for a majority of this, and Brian Harman, of course, who you mentioned, a majority of this is the guys who are just going to, you know, generally hit it far and be really good tee to green players. You know, Ben Ahn is interesting to me. He's a guy that sticks out who I don't usually play, but he's sort of on my list this week of players to potentially play. So I think this matches up exactly with what you're talking about. I think the accuracy hitters, like as we can see, like are kind of few and far between here. But then again, you know, this field, was this a regular field in 2020? Was this a 70 person field, or
it was a 70? Yeah.
Okay.
It would have been the second leg of the playoffs with 70.
So yeah. Typically you're getting more of those longer hitters, more of those bombers in those types of fields, which is part of the reason we're probably seeing only a smattering of like the Brian Harmans and the Brendan Todds. But with that said, I mean, it does seem like the bombers are very much in play here.
Again, only 1 year worth of data, but fairway hit percentage was pretty low. Green in regulation percentage was pretty low based on tour standards. I already mentioned it was the fourth most difficult course on the schedule. I do think that around the green play will be pretty interesting this week. So again, you just have to find ways to separate yourself. And we have a lot of the conversations, Sia, around what Bryson did to winged foot, which is if everybody misses the fairway, the bombers are the best. Well, if everyone misses greens, the short game guys are the best, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen Patrick Reed do this to some levels of success in his career. When you get to golf courses where everyone's playing from greenside, that's how he separates himself. So there are, we're probably going to spend a lot of time talking about driving because, you know, you get a perfect lie. Everybody starts from the same spot. It's the easiest thing to kind of model out and quantify and compare one golfer against another. But there, I don't want to overlook the fact that there are other ways to separate yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the around the green play, I think, is definitely, it's usually something I don't weigh a ton, but in this tournament, I'm going to take a pretty strong, heavy look at it. I usually bake it into your weighted tee to green stuff on Rick Run Good, but yeah, just looking at it independently. I mean, you know, one name that comes to mind that's probably going to be pretty popular that kind of fits everything that we just talked about. And maybe this is the professional segue into the 10K range, Rick, but Patrick Cantlay. People are going to want to play him, right? Because it looks like Patrick Cantlay is sort of back to the Cantlay that we thought we might have most of the season. And he crushed it around the green last week. I mean, he certainly has all aspects of the game.
Yeah, let's talk about that 10K range. But first, we are going to pay the bills and take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. Here's my website, rickrungood.com. Everything you see the rest of the way will probably be from here. So here's the cheat sheet. And we've got golfers from $12,100 down to $5,500. We are extending the universe a little bit again this week. And it's a bunch of names above 10K. Rory McIlroy is 12-1. Scottie Scheffler, 11-6. John Rahm, 11-2. The back-to-back defending champion, Patrick Cantlay at 10-5, Victor Hovland 10-3, Xander Schauffele at $10,100. And then we rounded out with Jordan Spieth at $10,000 even, Sia. So do you just want to start with Patrick Cantlay? You want to go in a different direction? What do you want to do here at the top?
Well, I want to state that I think Patrick Cantlay is going to be popular. I think Rory McIlroy is going to be popular. So let's start with Patrick Cantlay. I mean, let's look what he did around the green three of the last four tournaments. I mean, the guy is like, this is the type of trend you're looking for, because I think around the green, Rick, maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. I mean, it does have its points where I think it can be like a little random, but like, Patrick Cantlay, to the extent he's been sort of checkered on approach, he has really made up for it around the green. And we saw the approach play, you know, it was okay last week, but he's certainly popped on approach recently. For example, at the Travelers, off the tee, he's great. It's surprising, though, looking at this profile, that he finished second at the FedEx St. Jude, because we didn't see a great putter overall. We didn't see great approach, but he found a way to get it done. And on a course like this, where it's going to be really tough, you're probably looking for guys that kind of manufacture, that Cameron Smith type guy that can manufacture a way to get it done. And it looks like Cantlay, while he's more accurate than Cameron Smith, is that dude.
We are now a year removed from the last time Patrick Cantlay lost strokes off the tee. Literally the FedEx St. Jude of last year, 2022. So we are a year removed. I think that is often overlooked. I don't think people realize how good off the tee Patrick Cantlay is, because he hits it far enough. Don't get me wrong. But it doesn't look good. You know, he's kind of more of a well-rounded golfer, but he is one of the best off the tee. I will be interested to see what the industry does with him. Obviously he has won this event twice. You know, you mentioned Rory McIlroy here, Sia, and for the first time that I can remember, Scottie Scheffler has been dethroned from the last 36 kingdom, right? So last 36 rounds is kind of my default way to look at this. Scottie Scheffler has been top dog for what seems like all summer long until now. Rory McIlroy just edged him out, 2.58 strokes gained per round to 2.54 for Scottie Scheffler. Rory has been great off the tee, as you can imagine. The approach play is elite. The putter, despite changing the flat stick, has been a positive in nine straight. I get why Rory's going to be popular.
I get why he's going to be popular too. And I wouldn't be surprised. Again, we're talking DFS here. I wouldn't be surprised if people try to jam in both these guys that we just talked about, Rory and Patrick Cantlay, because there's so much win equity at the top, especially on these tougher courses. For the record, I just did that. Cantlay and Rory McIlroy. It doesn't leave you much, but then again, Rick, you opened with that there's a 5K range and we get four rounds. So if you want to open up the pricing and you throw a 5,500 guy and you throw a 6,600 guy with those two guys, all of a sudden it leaves you 7,650. Now you can work with that. Maybe a 7K guy, then maybe you dip back up into the 8K range. I think that's going to be an interesting construction. But back to Rory, I'm actually surprised he didn't play better yesterday, even though he was fine. But like, he had a swagger to him. I mean, I just like the first couple of holes, I think he missed that short birdie putt on one. And then maybe he had a birdie streak right after that. He just had a certain like energy about him where I was like, man, this guy's about to win this tournament. If not this one, it's going to be the next one. By the way, last week he led the field ball striking. He led the field off the tee. I mean, that's exactly what we're looking for. And there's no issues with the short game in spite of losing a little bit around the green. So he's probably, and I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm usually like the detractor. He's probably my favorite guy in this range.
He's gained at least 9 strokes ball striking in 4 of his last 5.
It's dumb.
I mean, it's silly what he's been doing. And it's weird because it's quote, only one win during that stretch. So Scottie Scheffler, Jon Rahm, Victor Hovland, Xander Schauffele, Jordan Spieth are the others in this range. Sia, do you have a lean? Is there a guy that you're a little bit worried about? What else can we discuss here at the top of the board?
You know, when we dive into game theory a little bit here, there's two names that come to mind. And it's so funny that I'm saying this, but like, I wonder if people are going to play Scottie Scheffler. So my whole point in even bringing him up is because people might want to just save the 1100 and go down to Cantlay or Hovland or just pay up for Roy McIlroy. So maybe he gets squeezed a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's Scottie Scheffler. I think Xander is the game theory play. I think people are going to play Hovland for obvious reasons.
I think that's right.
I don't want to play Xander, but again, from a game theory standpoint, he does make sense. I mean, losing that much off the tee at the FedEx St. Jude, that's kind of strange. I don't expect that to replicate itself. Otherwise, he was pretty good. I mean, gained everywhere else.
I think he's definitely the guy that has the least momentum in terms of what the industry perceives for Xander of the expensive guys. You know, the last time he finished inside the top 10 was the Wells Fargo. He finished T10 at the US Open, but the putters cooled off a little bit. The tee to green plays cooled off a little bit. He's not doing anything spectacular. He hasn't been in the mix of these tournaments. It is kind of bizarre. I'm not super excited, but we've seen plenty, Sia, that, you know, these elite guys, they don't need to foreshadow wins with great play. They can kind of just get right back into form and be great. And it's not like Xander's been bad. It's just he hasn't been as good as everybody else.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, though, like, because I agree with the sentiment that like these elite guys can turn it on. And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Xander's one of the best in the world. I wonder if he's in that stratosphere right now, or if he has been in that stratosphere this entire year. I don't know that he's that guy. But that's the good news. Right. We only have 50 players in this field. So what does that tell me? It tells me that most people are going to share, probably are going to be closer to my opinion, which means he's probably going to be low owned and he's probably a good game theory play.
Okay, fair enough. You mentioned Victor Hovland. I think, you know, we talk about him a lot. This is probably a really good place for him to drive the ball. If it reminds you a lot of Oak Hill, or it reminds me a lot of Oak Hill, he was in the mix until the last couple of holes there. Jordan Spieth, coming off a 6th place finish last week, he actually found a lot of fairways, which is encouraging, but I don't know what he's going to do after that. He's lost on approach in 3 of his last 4. The putter hasn't been as good either. He chipped in a couple times last week, which is going to boost those numbers. Like, what's your state of the union here on Jordan?
I think I'm going to be okay if I see a player that's trending with the short game and that's good off the tee and hasn't really been great on approach. I think I'm willing to defer to that type of player at this tournament more than I would, or at this course more than I would in other courses. So I don't mind Spieth. I'm not like in a rush to play him at 10,000, but he's one of those when we see ownership on Wednesday, if people are ignoring him and Xander, I feel like I almost have to choose one of them, make a decision on one of them to put at least in some of my lineups and be over the field in those lineups with one of two of those guys. And Spieth would be the guy I would lean to.
Okay, fair enough. Let's roll to the 9K range here. We've got Colin Morikawa at 9,800, Tommy Fleetwood 97, Max Homa 95. Then the bottom of that range is Hideki, Sungjae, Ricky Fowler, Lucas Glover, everyone, and Tyrrell Hatton. So let's just go to Glover here. Back-to-back wins. He now gets a big price increase to $9,100. It maybe just goes for 3 in a row.
It's funny to see him ahead of Tyrrell Hatton, but I don't know that it's completely unjustified the way he's been playing. The one thing I'll say about him, first of all, 9,100 is pretty rich. I wonder what the ownership's going to be. He did look really gassed on really Saturday. We started to see the approach numbers fall off for him. And then Sunday, it was just, honestly, I don't understand how he won. it was a train wreck on Sunday. Listen, relative to what we've seen, greens in regulation, finding fairways, like this was not the Lucas Glover we've seen over the last 4, 5, 6 weeks. And he just rocked it with the putter. I mean, some of those putts, listen, like a lot of those, they just don't go in normally. And he was making them consecutively. So I think he's fine to play. I don't think I'm going to, like, this will be the tournament where I probably don't play him in DFS because of the price. And maybe he'll be a little popular. But listen, I don't hate it.
I think this is it's bizarre, right? Because I actually think this is probably one of the better spots for him. You know, he is not long off the tee. He's quite accurate. And then he is one of the better approach players. And we kind of know what he's been doing with the flat stick. You know, if we just look at, I mean, fourth, sixth, fifth, miscut, win, win. And if that was fourth, sixth, fifth, miscut, win, third, wouldn't we be all over this?
Maybe, but well, first of all, two things would occur. Like his price would be lower. He'd probably be like 8,600 instead of 9,100. You're making a good argument. Like I don't really have an argument against Lucas Glover, honestly, but if I'm comparing him to who is around him, like I'll tell you, for example, Sung J.M., I'm going to be more inclined to play versus Lucas Glover at this point, because I do think that Lucas Glover, we might see just a slight decline there. And for the record, I like Sung J this week. He was fifth best ball striking in the field last week. Small loser with the short game. I think the ball striking might be back for him, though. So I think he's an interesting play at 9,300.
It is just kind of a social experiment of, you know, do you feel like you are chasing Lucas Glover, or do you feel like, you know, there are some people who have gotten ceiling weeks out of Glover the last 2 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So it really, what's crazy is a lot of people will make their decision on what to do with Lucas Glover based on the decision that they made the last 2 weeks, which is probably the wrong way to do it.
Yeah, you're probably right. That is. And I played him in DFS the last 2 weeks, maybe a little bit longer than that. But for whatever reason, I think I'm more inclined to jump off. But to be honest, like this really does come down to ownership. I think the ownership is going to be kind of flat in that range. So I don't think ownership is necessarily going to dictate what you're going to do with Lucas Glover. But I think I'm going to ride the narrative that he's on empty a little bit. And I don't think we're going to see anything close to what we've seen the last 2 weeks.
You mentioned Sung J.M. I've pulled up his stat profile here, and he is starting to look a lot more like Sung J. Finally, after maybe 2 months of some up and down play. But the ball striking was sound around TPC Southwind. He's starting to put together that well-rounded but led by ball striking stat profile again. He's playing back to kind of what I would say his DNA is. So that 14th and that 6th in his last two, 3 top 20s in his last 4. This is what you like to see, I imagine, Sia.
Absolutely. I mean, I just think if we're seeing the old Sungjae, I think this is just a fine course fit. And I think the price is really good, too. And I don't think he's going to be super. This 9K range is so interesting. Like, do people go back to Colin Morikawa? I'm not 100% sure about that. I think some people will. Tommy Fleetwood, for sure. I mean, we probably should talk about him. Max Homa has been flashing. Hideki has been flashing. So how much really pours down to guys like Sungjae to Ricky Fowler, who had a bad week last week? I think that's where you're going to see the game theory come in, for me at least. But I for the record, I don't know that I'm going back to Colin Morikawa this week, but I do like Max Homa, and it's hard not to like Tommy Fleetwood at this point.
Yeah, I've planted my flag on Morikawa. I think it's all good, and I think it's just a matter of time before he starts winning again and all that fun stuff. So I'm kind of in it for a while. Here's the Tommy profile, though, and outside of the miscut at the Travelers, you're going to be hard pressed to find somebody who's got a stat profile as good as this, or at least results as good as this. You know, second, fifth, miscut, sixth, tenth, third, and doing it in pretty well-rounded fashion. This is the guy. This is the exact guy, though, Sia, that I worry about from like the medium guy. He's not. Mm-hmm. He's like middle of the road distance, middle of the road accuracy. Now that did not stop him from playing well at the Renaissance Club. It hasn't stopped him from playing well at other places. I mean, T18 at Oak Hill earlier this year. So that could be me just taking something a little bit too seriously and having a blind spot on Tommy Fleetwood, but these results are phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying with the sort of like the medium thing, but he's been so good that I feel like he sort of transcends that logic. Yeah. He's like one of a couple guys that transcends that logic. And honestly, if it's not for Sunday, like every Sunday, this guy wilted. I'm not saying he had a terrible Sunday, but if you look, if we go round by round here, I promise you this, you are going to see a Sunday that where he probably lost across most of his metrics and wasn't even close to what he was the first three rounds. And I'm sure you're bringing that up. But the point is, I think Tommy Fleetwood is, I think he's a great play. And I think, I truly think he's due to win.
Well, you promised me. So let's see. Last week, Sunday was his worst round. The week before that, Sunday was not his worst, but like it was not nearly as good as the rest of the week. Scottish Open, Sunday was his worst round. Travelers, he missed the cut, so it doesn't count. Then he did that thing that he always does at every U.S. Open where he shoots the course record and nothing comes out of it. Yeah, you're right. Here you go. PGA Championship. The worst round of the week was on the only round he lost that week was the final round. RBC Heritage, same thing. Yeah, he's got a little Sunday problem.
A little Sunday problem. But that's the thing, though. Even if that's the case, at 9,700, if his Sunday problem is a T3, like he's not exactly hurting you. So I think he's one of those guys that absolutely is a solid play. The problem is, let's see how 9,700 is rich for Tommy Fleetwood. Let's see how popular he is, because people are going to look at those metrics and they're going to say to themselves, I might have to play Tommy Fleetwood this week.
There are two golfers in this range who underperformed last week. Ricky Fowler, 58th, Tyrrell Hatton, 43rd. If you were required to play one of them and only one of them, which one would it be?
I would probably go to Tyrrell Hatton because I think maybe there's just a bit more upside with him. But it's tough because the problem with Tyrrell Hatton is I feel like as an industry, like we are, and I'm very much included in this. I feel like we talk about him a little bit more than we should almost. And we kind of prop him up a little bit more than we should. And then when he sort of disappoints, like he did last week, we're super surprised. And listen, the metrics look good, but there's nothing like super outstanding about this. And I do think he can get hot. I feel like he's a great showdown play tournament to tournament, but I'm starting to wonder if he's a guy that like we can rely on to have a win and then in a top three finish right after that. Like if he's going to consistently be a great guy. And we saw it in June, but I don't know. I think I'm out on Hatton, but if it's between those two, I think I'm going to go with Tyrrell.
It's a really good question. Pat myself on the back for asking that question. I don't know the answer to it. I want it to be Ricky, but I'm not sold that it is.
Mm-hmm. I just think Hatton's more inclined to get red hot. We get four guaranteed rounds. I feel like Hatton's more inclined to get red hot for like 2 days than Ricky Fowler's. They both can. I just think it's Hatton's world when it comes to that.
And it's not a knock because it's kind of normal. Ricky has not been as good since the win.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been bad, but it just hasn't been as good. Okay. Anything else in this 9K range, or should we keep it on moving down the list?
Well, I think Hideki's interesting. Again, this comes down to ownership. Like, are people going to play Hideki? There's a lot of other guys you can play in that range, and the metrics don't jump off the page. But again, from a game theory standpoint, he might be a guy to play.
He had that good finish at Olympia Fields in 2020, finished T3, gained 6 strokes around the green, but 2 off the tee. Interesting. Okay, let's keep rolling here. We'll get to the 8K range, the 7s, the 6s, and those pesky 5s. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. The 8s led by Corey Connors, Wyndham Clark, Tom Kim, Jason Day, Cameron Young, Sam Burns, Tony Finau, Russell Henley, Brian Harman, and Matt Fitzpatrick. Oh boy. These are the underperformers for the most part. You look at almost everybody in this 8K range except for Corey Connors and Russell Henley, and they probably had themselves a disappointing week in Memphis. So is there an opportunity or opportunities to buy low?
Yeah, you know, Tom Kim wasn't bad. He had a poor finish to his tournament. Wyndham Clark, I mean, like, I don't even know what to say about him, because when you lose that much, like, I don't want to say he gave up. Like, to me, is this injury related? Like, what? How do you possibly on? I don't know how you do that at a course that's not, that doesn't demand a ton to lose 11.53 ball striking.
I will look it up later, but I'm assuming he must have had multiple water balls. I mean, there's the only way to lose five off the tee and six and a half on approach and be Wyndham Clark is to find the water many times, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and we've known this about Wyndham Clark, he is very long, very inaccurate. I think this is a great little crossover to Oak Hill. He missed the cut at Oak Hill. I'm a big believer in Wyndham Clark, but I am taking a pause and I'm very interested to see what he does this week, but I will probably not be involved in it.
His accuracy, and I just for the heck of it, I did the last 12 rounds just to see who's like really kind of coming in hot. I think it's the worst in the field. I mean, I'm like scrolling. It's 49.2%.
Yeah, I
like
mean,
you don't see those numbers.
He sprays it. Yeah, that's kind of his thing. And yeah, it's not great.
So anyway, let's get to guys I actually like. There's a few guys I like. I mean, Cameron Young is really interesting to me. I mean, when you look, especially if you look at the last few tournaments, off the tee, ball striking, he's pretty great, actually. So I think Cameron Young at 8,500 is a pretty tremendous sort of boom or bust option. But I like the boom more than I like the bust. I think Connors is interesting. I think Henley and Harmon are really smart, like kind of easy plays. That's pretty much who I'm interested in the 8K range.
Yeah, Russell Henley, hat tip. You know, the runner-up finish, which was obviously a disappointment at the Wyndham because he was in the lead for so long, backs it up with just a Russell-esque T6. Right. So now he's got top 20s in 6 of 8, with two of them being top sixes in his two most recent. So Henley's the other guy. Henley is the Brendan Todd, Brian Harmon blueprint, which is hit a ton of fairways, which, by the way, is probably the number one. Yeah. He's the most accurate player in the field off the tee. And then he is basically a top 25 approach player in the world. And while he's not a great putter, he can get hot with the putter, and he's a small positive around the green. This is, you're actually not even asking Russell Henley to do anything more than he has been doing all year long to fit this course really well.
Yeah. And it's probably why at this price, he's going to be pretty popular, because it's hard to ignore those finishing positions and the metrics and be like, yeah, I'm going to be off Russell Henley this week. So, I mean, it's just something to keep in mind, but Henley and Harmon seem like great plays to me. Guys that are kind of relatively short, but are going to do the things that this course may ask for in terms of like, well, if you're not a bomber, what do you need to do? And I think Harmon and Henley fit that profile pretty well.
Yeah, I wanted to look at Harmon's round by round stuff, because I thought he got off to a good start last week, or am I making that up? Oh no, he got off to a bad start and then he kind of bounced back. So he loses 2.5 strokes, which is, that's his first round since winning the Open. He loses 2.5 strokes and then he gains a third of a stroke, 1.5, a third. That's, I'm in on this. I bet you that his final three rounds were some of the best in the field. I mean, not like the best, but some of the best. Let's see. Where are you, Brian Harmon? 2.96 over the final three rounds. So that'd be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like the eighth best score over the course of those three final rounds after winning the Open. I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's solid. I mean, I'm a Harmon guy. I like him quite a bit.
Tony Finau. There are some shocking numbers that came out of last week. Tony Finau lost over 8 strokes putting, the worst of his career. Continues a trend of just being lost with the flat stick. Okay, because we have the small, only one sample of Olympia Fields data, we talked about how we will use it. Will those guys like Finau, like Hideki, even John Rahm to an extent, will they be overused because of the only time we've ever played here they've played well?
In Tony Finau's case, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, we haven't seen anything since Mexico. We haven't seen anything from Tony Finau. So I haven't been on him in quite some time. I haven't regretted it. And this is going to be the same thing this tournament. Now, listen, again, it's only 50 players. If everybody thinks that, then I'm willing to speculate on Tony Finau here and there. But it's a no for me.
So who do we even like in this? So you said Cam Young you're interested in. Russell Henley, Brian Harman kind of down at the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, I'd be willing to play Clark if he ends up being contrarian. But to me, it's Connors, it's Young, it's Henley, it's Harman.
I don't like Young as much as you do. And I like Burns more than I should, which is just, I just hate myself. But it's true. He played better. He played better on the weekend. I don't, you know, whatever. Fitzpatrick's all. I mean, it is also interesting to see, and this happens every single year. You just wonder if some of these guys are worn out. You know, it's been a long year for a lot of these guys, and we see this every year. Denny McCarthy has run into a wall. Matt Fitzpatrick has run into a wall. Wyndham Clark might have just ran into a wall. Tony Finau might have ran into a wall. Like, there are guys that just legit look gassed.
Fitzpatrick, like that is, I mean, listen, we keep talking about game theory because it's a 50 person field. We kind of have to. If you want to put like Fitzpatrick and Wyndham Clark in a lineup together, you're going to be different.
You'll be the only one. Might not be so bad. 7K range. So this goes from Justin Rose, Cam Davis, down to Keegan Bradley, Sahith, Benny On, who's played well recently, is in the mix. JT Poston in here as well. Cam Davis in here as well. How do you want to allocate in this area?
So Cam Davis makes a lot of sense. Played him last week. It certainly worked out. I like him. Siwoo Kim, I think, is really interesting. He finished T16, which I think would surprise some people. He lost a bunch with the putter, almost 3 strokes, but he was 3rd in the field ball striking last week. So I think if he's just not going to be a popular name because he's just sort of been out of people's consciousness in terms of like doing really well the last few tournaments, I think he's very interesting. I mentioned Ben On. Again, last 12 rounds, I'm really kind of hyper-focused on the last 12 just for this stat, but 5th weighted off the tee, and we know he's good off the tee anyway. A couple of other guys, just 2 other guys that I think are sneaky. Sepp Straka, coming off a poor tournament, but actually had a pretty great Sunday, which I think speaks volumes about him just in general. He was 5th worst in the field putting. And we know Sepp Straka can be bad with the putter, but we know he can find the putter as well. His approach has been great. In general, and his putter can get hot. So I think he's interesting at 7,300 coming off a bad tournament. And then the last guy who I think is super sneaky at 7,100, Keegan Bradley. First of all, the accuracy has been okay. The greens in regulation has been great. He seems like a pretty good course fit, kind of more leaning towards that Brian Harman fit, even though he's a lot longer than Brian Harman. I think Keegan has like the sort of course profile to do well here. And 7,100 is a great price, obviously.
The one that you mentioned that got my attention was Benny On. I said something about Russell Henley. Like, I'm not asking him to do anything more than what he's already been doing. And I feel the same way about Ben On as well. He's one of the best drivers that we have. He gains 3, 4, 5 strokes off the tee seemingly every single week. I don't know what I'm going to get from him on approach, but he is capable of gaining 5 and he's capable of losing 5. I'm okay with either, right? Just the idea that he could have that upside, I'm fine with. And then he's a positive around the green player and he's been positive with the putter. I will just take, if you just gave me one of these last 10 stat profiles at random from Ben On this week, and you said, yeah, I guarantee you're going to get one of these 10. I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, this is sort of a watered down version of that Patrick Cantlay profile that I said I was willing to accept, which is a little checkered on approach, but everything else off the tee, short game, he's checking the boxes. So I like Ben On a lot this week.
I'll continue to do the Emiliano Grillo thing. Hits a lot of fairways, hits a lot of greens. He's putting better. Didn't kind of faded after a really hot start, but he finished 20th last week. That's fine. So now he's got 3 straight top 20s. I'm not particularly buying the Taylor Moore stuff. He's got 2 good finishes in a row, but I'm not ready to buy into that.
Agree on Taylor Moore quite a bit.
JT Poston is the cheaper Tommy Fleetwood that scares me because he's a medium guy, but I can't deny the results. 4 top 7s in his last 6. And he is a like the 2023 version of 2020 Webb Simpson,
where Webb was phenomenal from fairway through green, but might lose you two, three or four strokes on off the tee. That's JT Poston right now.
I think the problem with Poston is that he's not particularly accurate and he's not particularly long either. So he doesn't like, he's not on either side of the narrative there.
Yeah. He's medium, medium.
He's not even medium, medium, in my opinion. I feel like he's like
low, low,
a little bit low to medium, low to medium.
I agree, but he's like really good everywhere else. And he can get so hot with the putter, man. It's like, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. 6K. So we got two little ranges left, a little 6K range and a little 5K range. The sixes are Hadwin and Putnam down to Lee Hodges and Chris Kirk. Brendan Todd's in here. Obviously, Brendan Todd has the best finish of anybody remaining in this field that we haven't talked about yet in 2020. That was an eighth place finish. So what do you want to do here in the sixes?
Well, I like Todd, but I think Todd's going to feel like very comfortable with people just based on what you just said and then the apparent course fit there. So I think he's going to be somebody I don't end up playing, but I think he's fine. Adam Shank is just interesting to me, just in general. A monster on approach on his way to T6 last week. A few other names. Svensson at 6,200. The one thing I want to point out about him, when the ball striking is on with Svensson, it is truly on, and he was really bad with the putter last week. So if he can turn that around, which we've seen lately, like his putter's been just fine, I think he's really sneaky at 6,200. Chris Kirk at 6,000. Great approach in ball striking last week. Lost with the short game. Two other names. Well, one other name I'm going to support, one other I just want to mention, because Rick, I want your opinion on this guy. Lee Hodges is the name that I like, but we don't have to talk about Lee Hodges too much. We've been on him for quite some time. Very few weaknesses. Short game, that's pretty much it. Harris English, though. He led the field on approach last week and lost over three strokes everywhere else. That's tough to do.
And two straight weeks of gaining basically six strokes on approach and losing everywhere else.
I mean, obviously that's not the profile we're looking for here. I just think that's super interesting how you can gain that much on approach and like finish way outside of relevance.
This is so far from Harris English's DNA is what I worry about. You know, he is historically a well-rounded golfer who can and we've seen it here. We saw it when he won the Travelers. We saw it when he won the Tournament Champions. We saw it during his best days. And obviously those seem like they're behind him, but this is, you have to go out and out hit every other part of your game. And you're doing it in now increasingly more difficult fields. This feels like we are playing with fire right now.
Yeah. The thing about English though, and forgive me for not knowing the answer here, but he's been really short. And I wonder, is that what this issue is? I mean, this is a longer course than what we had last week, but is that really the issue with Harris English? Is he at least accurate, which the numbers are showing me that he has been.
He's more accurate than he is long for sure. I'm just trying to look through some of this other stuff and see if I can find anything that might be... It might be rough. It's so bizarre. And even if you look at the averages, don't even tell the whole story, right? I mean, you just look at some weeks he's the best putter in the world. Mm-hmm. Some weeks he's the best approach player in the world. He can never match them up. There's no sign that any of them are coming, right? I mean, this is truly, truly a bizarre profile.
Well, it's been a bizarre season. Harris English is your winner at the BMW Championship. You're welcome, everybody.
Probably is. I like Svensson a lot. It's funny. It's not funny. I shouldn't laugh. But like, he got hot in the fall, won, and then like went on break, right? The season ends. And like, he's finally playing well again. And like, the season's about to end, right? It's like, dude, you got to get hot in the summer. Like, you got to get hot in the spring and run this for like 6, 8, 10 weeks. But no, this is good stuff. What you're seeing, basically gaining off the tee in four straight, gaining on approach in four straight, an 11 stroke difference in 2 weeks between his putter, good and bad to good. Like, that's fine. Who cares about that? So I think Svensson is quite interesting as well. That 5K range, these are the final guys into the field, essentially. essentially. Nick Taylor, Seamus Power, Tom Hoagie, Kurt Kitayama, Patrick Rogers. Nick Taylor had the best finish last week. That was 24th. Seamus Power has been generally not very good in recent months. Is there anybody that could offer any semblance of confidence for the salary relief that they would offer?
Nick Taylor, I played him last week. I'm happy with that. I think Tom Hoagie is a possibility there if he's just super dialed in with the ball striking. Looking at Nick Taylor last week, I mean, that's pretty great because it's the short game that really was the issue with him, but the ball striking has been really good in two out of the last three. And the putter is usually just like barely a negative. So I don't know. The short game is obviously a problem for him. So maybe that's where he gets tripped up. But I think in the 5K range, Nick Taylor, Tom Hoagie, I think Patrick Rogers at a flat 5,500 is a guy I would be willing to speculate on as well. Just because lately greens in regulation, it's been a little higher and I'm just looking for something to hang my hat on.
God, these guys are, it's not bad. I mean, I think Nick Taylor's objectively the best option because at least he has, while he has missed cuts, he has the runner-up at Zurich. That was a team event. He's got the win at the Canadian Open, the 19th at the Renaissance Club, and then the 24th last week, which was like probably his best stat profile since the RBC Canadian Open. Mm-hmm. I think he is objectively the best option in the 5K range.
Yep, I agree.
Anything or anyone else before we get into the narrative portion of the show?
Well, you know, as we look at the screen right now, the one guy we didn't mention is John Rahm. I'm just curious. Are you willing to go to John Rahm this week?
Yes, I am. I think this is a good spot for him, right? I mean, the ability to drive it. I'm happy to look past the two strokes he lost off the tee because a lot of that was hitting it into the water. You're probably not going to drive it in water around here. The creeks don't really run like that. So I think he'll get back to being a plus two, plus three off the tee player. And I think this is a much better setup for him than TPC Southwind was.
Fair enough. All right.
All right. Let us suspend logic and reason. Let's have a little fun. Strokes gain narrative. If you want to get involved, follow Sia on Twitter and use the hashtag SG narrative. Send in a lineup for anything that you would like, as long as there is some type of theme. Troy, what do we have? Tim Thomas. I got to make my screen bigger. Hold on one second. Tim Thomas says, here's one with some famous Chicago athletes. Now we're talking. Michael Jordan Spieth. Piece of cake. Patrick Cantley. That's a combination of Patrick Cantley, Patrick Kane. John Ron Santo. So that would be Ron Santo, John Rahm. Right?
That's right. And he's a baseball player. Was a baseball player.
Jim. This is good because Jim Tomey used to play for the Phillies. So Jim Tomey. Hoagie. Jim Tohoagie. Jim. Yeah. Jim Tomey and Tom Hoagie. That's pretty good. Zach Levine Hodges. Zach Levine and Lee Hodges. And then Sepp Strakim Noah. Joakim Noah. Sepp Straka. Well done.
Solid.
Mike, these look like car related names to me because it's the BMW. Patrick can't lay off the gas. I wish. Can't lay off the brake. Guy's so slow. Sam Tyre burns out. Sometimes he will burn you out. Max Uber take me home. Sure. Taylor more gas. Harris driving through the English countryside. What a nice visual that is. Ricky something in the gas is Fowler. And Lucas got my driving glovers on. You ever wear driving gloves, Sia?
No. When I lived in D.C., it got really cold, so I suppose I wore gloves, but they weren't driving gloves. And frankly, when I got in the car, I would take the gloves off. So no is the answer.
What is the preferred like conditions for driving gloves? Like a nice, a brisk fall morning?
Such a good question. It's just, yeah, I'll never own driving gloves. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Next, Troy. Let's see what else we have. Ryan, the Fantasy Bunker, says 50 golfers at Olympia Fields. That's right. 40 sports at the Olympics.
Interesting.
A few of my favorite Olympic events. Andrew Shot Putnam.
Shot put.
Rug. Rugby Benon. Trampoline Hodges. Ski Woo Kim.
That's pretty good.
Adam Svensson and Jay Karate Poston.
Very good. Nice. He's the only one that dropped the hashtag strokes gain narrative, by the way. All you other three are rookies. And by the way, the marksman is on vacation, so apparently he was unable to submit a lineup.
Wow. I thought John Markowski was a no days off kind of guy.
That's kind of what I thought, too.
Wow. The Monomaniac has entered the chat with some car puns, car punctures. I don't get that.
I don't either. He's always like, Monomaniac, he always brings it, but there's like one little piece that's off. Like, just, it's what makes it such a Picasso. It makes it art. This is a good one, though, by the way.
Hideki? No. Hold on. Hideki Floor Matsuyama. So that's a hide key, one of those hideaway keys in the floor Matsuyama.
Wow. Yes. It's a 2-for-1.
Oh boy. Backup camera Davis. 3-year Warren Tony Finau. Matt Fitz catalytic converter. Whew. Lucas Glovebox Sunroof M. Wow. Pretty good.
Not bad.
Pretty good. Is that all?
I think that's it.
Okay. Those are all the narratives that we have. See ya. Next week, Tour Championship, 30 golfers and starting strokes that we will have to dive into because of if they do it the same way they've done it before, DraftKings will start you with the finishing position points and then it'll work itself out. So you might see salaries that are like 14,300 and you might see salaries that are like 5,000.
Yeah. Interesting game theory at play there.
Big thanks to producer Troy. It is all the hard work behind the scenes. You can find Sia Najat on Twitter at Sia Najat. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
I told you imaginary friends are real.
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.